It's a Terling Tourism Tuesday, presented by AO Tourism on News Talk WANI.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your News Talk and Information Station. We do it every Tuesday. It is Terling Tuesdays. Anthony Terling in studio as we talk. This time, I would say triathlon, but I've been told by Laura Lee that it's not that anymore. It's duathlon.
Yes.
Dr. Carter joins us as well, who kind of heads this whole thing up.
Yeah, she had to pivot, right,
Nicole? I had to Nicole. Pivot on a dime,
big time.
So what is the do of it, since we're not tri anymore?
Well, we're not tri. We hope for only a year.
Okay. And I love your logo, how you did it, you know.
Oh, did she redo it?
It's kind of a cross out.
Yeah, it's like a temporary thing.
Right, this is temporary.
It is, according to, Laura Lee was in last week, she was talking to me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it should, next year, we should be fine. Yeah. But it just take, I mean, anytime you start doing pool renovations.
Yes.
Apparently, it's going to be amazing though, y'all.
It is.
50 meter outdoor pool and all kinds of new, like a beautiful new building.
Yes.
But nice. Yeah, when Laura Lee called me, she said, I want you to know you probably can't have a triathlon this year. And I went, excuse me? So I did pivot.
Okay.
So we're doing what's called a duathlon, mm-hmm. which actually some people love because swimming is not their favorite event. So instead of swim, bike, run, mm-hmm. you run, bike, run. So we just replace the swim with a second shorter run. And so for some of our athletes, I actually think some of our kids are probably going to love it because they don't do the race because they don't want to swim. But we are missing some of our swimmers because a lot of them told me they're going to have to wait till next year.
Because that's what they wanted.
That's their favorite part.
Yeah, of course it is.
This is what annual?
This is our 11th annual event. So,
have you been doing this the whole 11 years?
I have. I started the event in 2013.
Little did you know what you were getting yourself into.
100%.
Tell everybody, what's the cause?
So we're actually our own nonprofit now.
Awesome.
Partly just kids triathlons are not very profitable, mm-hmm. which is okay. But we turned ourselves into our own nonprofit so that we could help fund it a little bit better. We're still going to give some of our proceeds to one of a children's foundation in town, either. Usually we've done Nourish in the past, mm-hmm. which is a great charity, but some of it just depends on how much we end up with proceed-wise. Mm-hmm. The hard part this year is because it's a duathlon, our numbers are pretty low, so I'm trying to get the word out as much as I can. We need about 25 more racers to make this event a reality this year. So I really encourage anybody. We have an event for little kids ages 2 to 5. We're still having our small fry try. Mm-hmm. And those kids run, and then they bike on scooters or big wheels, and then they're going to do their swim on a really cool water slide because we don't have the splash park this year to use. And then our competitive duathlon for our kids ages 6 to 15. Mm. So, and it is on, I should mention, it's on August 5th. It's always the first Saturday in August, right before school gets rolling. So
it's not too late to sign up. You still can take entries then?
We take entries up until the Friday before the event.
Oh.
So anybody could jump on our website. I didn't change the website. It is still Sportsplex Try for Kids, even though it's a duathlon this year. But that's where our registration is.
Is there a place on the website, since you guys are your own nonprofit now, mm-hmm. where if they can't participate, they can still donate or give towards the cause?
Great question. There actually is, and we've had some really fabulous folks jump on and already do that. There's also a spot to volunteer. It takes about 80 to 100 volunteers, some amazing people out of our community, to help me run this event, and we're always looking for great volunteers to help with the event.
You know, there's this organization called Auburn Opelika Tourism that you can partner with. They also provide volunteers.
I have done that in the past.
Yeah, she's a frequent
Oh, is she one that gets the swag?
She does a great job, and that's what we encourage, you know, people that, hey, run their own events or manage volunteer needs for charity events or, you know, sporting events. She posts in our Facebook page, and that's what we want. We want it to be kind of an organic opportunity, not just when we send stuff out. You know, obviously, it's listed on our calendar and all this. This is an event we've supported for years. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have local community members that see this opportunity and provide this for kids and really provide it for the community, because without a organization of people like Nicole and her team, and, mm-hmm. and you know, whether it's a nonprofit or not, it's great to have something like this, because you don't have youth triathlon/duathlons mm-hmm. in your community. You don't see them everywhere.
No.
And so it's good. It's a great thing to have for a health and wellness opportunity, but also just a fun activity for kids, because mm-hmm. normally you start seeing kids get involved in these things a little bit later in age because they don't have those event opportunities to be exposed to it. So, but yeah, Volunteer AO, I mean, we have a lot of community members. These are hard events. These are labor intensive, as you can mm-hmm. see just by the sheer numbers of volunteers that are needed. It's an early event. You know, so I always tell people it's challenging to get volunteers to come out to any early endurance race. And this is what this is. It doesn't matter if it's a half marathon or a duathlon or a tri. It's very hard to find volunteers. So kudos to you to do that, because it is not easy. You make it look easy and your team makes it look easy, but they don't just show up. Mm. You know, they don't just show up and be like at 6 o'clock. Or whatever time, it's early in the morning to just show up and volunteer. And I would assume that a lot of this is just no experience required. Yes, there's probably some areas that have some kind of, you know, expertise needed, but most of it is just, you know, hey, show up, show out. You'll teach them, train them, those kind of things. And the same thing with the kids.
I was actually going to say that for the kids too. Our kids don't need a lot of training, although we do have practice clinics. Oh. We've already had one. Our next one is actually tomorrow night at the Sports Flex from 5 to 7. And our last one is July 19th from 5 to 7, where I go out and we kind of practice the different parts of the race, giving the kids time to see how it works. And if they're a little bit nervous, it gives them time to just ask some questions. But again, what Anthony said, with both our volunteers and our athletes, it really doesn't require any preparation. It's just coming and being interested and excited to be there.
How many of them are in it to win it?
I'd say a small handful. You've got probably about 10 who are ultra competitive. We've had a couple kids throw up on the finish line.
Yes.
They've been running so hard.
I love it.
And then you've got the kids who come and their helmet doesn't stay on and their pedals fall off their bike. And both of those things are really fun to watch.
Be my kids.
My kid would be like, as he just played in his first rugby tournament, we're trying to get a youth rugby league started, and he came there. The Lee County Lions, as we're called. So we're kind of a combination of all, came in second. He goes, I'm not happy. I want to come in first. I said, be happy that you came in second, but I love the fact that you want more.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to be that participation trophy dad, but I also want to reward you for doing great and something you're not experienced in. But hey, I love that. Let's get back to first. So same thing. You're going to have a handful that are really competitive. Mm-hmm. I know some people that run have their kids running it, and I know some of them have just started their cross-country training as of yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, so it leads into stuff like that. That's mm-hmm. what's cool about this is you never know. I've seen kids, my nieces have run in triathlons for youth, and one of them was just a loved running, or one loved a bike. And then they're like, well, I want to try this out where I can do all three together. Mm-hmm. You know, in this case, it's duathlon. But, you know, it's really cool to see, you know, some kid, you know, see something and have an experience, and then all of a sudden they come participate, and you never know. All of a sudden they're a triathlete, mm-hmm. you know, and they're running these things, and there's a lot of cool opportunities as they get older. I mean, there's tri clubs, there's all types of opportunities, you know, and for me, it's a great, neat thing because the base has to start somewhere.
Yep.
And Nicole lays a base with this event as a youth event. I remember first meeting Nicole, and I was like, this is the coolest thing, because you don't see a ton of youth focused triathlons or duathlons in your community. And so when we're able to host events
for youth running events in general.
Correct. Yeah. And so, you know, and part of my goal with tourism is to create opportunities for every age, mm-hmm. for every ability, you know, and it can't be done by AO Tourism. It's got to be done by people in the community. And then we can also work with groups, rights holders that own these events that we can bring. And it's maybe a one-time deal, but it's a big mm-hmm. national event or a big regional event, mm-hmm. Kind of like the mountain bike event that we're bringing. So it all runs together and works together in harmony, because, you know, when you can have kids and people, citizens in a community participating in something, then it just leads to, as we call it, moving up the escalator. As you get older, you participate in something, it becomes a life thing. So
11 years in running, the challenge you've been put forth is they need about 25 more participants. And Dr. Carter, again, the website that they can go and they can register or donate or get more information on how they find out all that.
So sportsplextryforkids.com. We're actually kind of excited too. Our logo this year says, or our shirt this year says, do or do not. There is no try. So we pulled a little Star Wars in there too, which makes it really fun. And all of our kids get a really cool t-shirt and a medal when they finish.
That is always awesome stuff. We're going to let you go do your real job for a living before we question Anthony on a couple of more things. But hopefully we'll send him to the website. We're going to have this up on the website a little bit later on as well. We'll be back in a moment. I'm opening up a like it this morning as we do Turtling Tuesdays and talk tourism.
This is News Talk, WANI, Auburn Opelika, Alabama, USA. 98.7 FM and 1400 AM.
News Talk, WANI.
Like this morning, your News Talk and Information Station, Anthony Turling, as we talk tourism. I think we covered the volunteer AO portion of tourism.
We always got to hit that. So you didn't make it downtown, right, to the Great Race?
No, I was coming back from Red Level.
Oh, yeah. So you were heading up north to us.
South. Yes.
Well, you were headed north to us.
And,
from the south.
And I will say, I am so happy that I guess 4th of July weekend is next weekend. I missed all the beach traffic coming back.
Oh.
I picked a good weekend to go. Didn't catch it going down, did not catch it coming back up. So now, I will say, this weekend, since the 4th is on a Tuesday, it probably will be wrapped up Friday and Saturday headed down there.
And now you got to worry about, obviously, you got to connect, like, okay, when are the Georgia folks coming, or when are the, you know.
I swear,
Let me tell you something. And then Tennessee comes down.
Nobody in Tennessee works.
Like you see a ton of Tennessee tags.
I've come to figure that, and my dad said that. Like when he's constantly going to town, you know, from Red Level to Andalusia, that's the road they take. They take that Highway 55 that turns into 84, and whenever you head to the beach, and you have to go through Andalusia. And he's also upset that Tennessee changed the color of their tags because now he can't. Now they're blue like Pennsylvania.
Oh, see, I pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm with him. I don't like that.
Yeah, he doesn't like that at all.
We should copy each state.
He thought he was honking the horn at Pennsylvania people. Turns out it's Tennessee people. But yeah, he said that this weekend. We were talking. He said, I don't think anybody in Tennessee works. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, every time I go, it's nothing but a line of Tennessee cars. No matter what weekend it is, they're headed down here.
Well, we need to figure out what's going on up there.
Yeah.
Figure out we can get that here.
Because Tennessee's not a big state.
No.
I mean.
No.
That's the thing.
And the more and more people are finding out about Alabama tourist opportunities, and that's a good segue.
Yep.
Because the spending, and I'll get to the Great Race, I know it, but you just opened me up to this, spending report, and it's real quick. So Alabama Tourism Department, a.k.a. Sweet Home Alabama, puts out an annual report each year. I usually come on and talk about it. It's been a little later this year, so I haven't had, they just put it out probably a few weeks ago, and it's the annual spending report. Now remember, it's 2022 because we're in 2023.
Right.
So the spending is occurring right now for the year 23.
Yep.
We are continuing to boom as a state from visitor spending, which means people traveling here, all those things that we talk about ad nauseum on this program, because it's fun to talk about, but two, it's more of awareness to what tourism is. And so, you know, if we saw, if you see the state growth, you know, I think our state grew from a population standpoint, the 2 to 3%. That was one of the tops, you know, in the country, in the nation. And so people are traveling, they're understanding that, hey, the state of Alabama is a great place to live. We're not perfect, but we've got a lot of great things going for us. And so when you talk about people traveling to the South, they're understanding those, hey, there's beaches, there's all these great things, but also across the state, 14%+ up on visitor spending from the year 2021.
Oh, wow.
So for the year 2022, guess what that number represents? $22.4 billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion was spent by Alabama tourists. And this goes back. We're tracking anything from 2013 all the way to 2022. And if you're looking at the chart that I'm looking at, it is a massive growth from 2013, it was at $11 billion. Then we'll skip a few years to go to 2017. It went from 7%, 8% to 5%, and then it was up another 7%. Mm. So in 2017, we're talking $14.3 billion. All right, skip a few. And then, of course, COVID hit, which went down to $13.4 mm-hmm. billion. We then rebounded, and we were one of the top 10 states in rebound for a variety of reasons. Went up 47%, which is, I know, hard to equate because of such the rebound. But still, we went to $19.7 billion in visitor spending in the year 2021. So you're like, how can we do any better? Well, we just did. So in 2022, and I just mentioned that, it went up 14% to a total of $22.4 billion. Mm. As I continue to pull out data from this, we'll come on and talk about how that relates to our local economy, how that relates to things like jobs and sell, and things that mm-hmm. we see happening in our community, whether it's roads being produced or infrastructure being improved in mm-hmm. our state. So that's obviously one main reason. And so we do what we do, and we do it collectively with the state.
Is it a combination of everything?
It's a combination of everything.
Is it price? Is it location? Is it weather? Is it?
It's a lot of different things. I know
events, like you talked about, when you guys bring in stuff that brings in 5,000 people, that helps.
Those are like the quick opportunities, like the influx of people, whether it's for a bowl game, mm-hmm. when you see Montgomery doing bowl games, you see Birmingham doing bowl games, and I'm talking sports, but there's things that happen on a daily basis mm-hmm. in this state that bring people. And it's not just group travel, as we call it. Group travel, think of a group. Yeah. It could be 1,000 people for a conference. It could be 1,000 people. We had over 1,800 players in tennis and pickleball here in mm-hmm. 1 week. In 1 weekend.
Yeah, that's
amazing. Just the players themselves.
Yeah, it's not grandma.
You had 750 tennis players.
Yeah.
You had over 700 players for pickleball. That's all 1 week/weekend. And that wasn't just the that was only two events. Mm. Just in the month of late April to literally last weekend, we've hosted SEC Men's Tennis Championship, Auburn Track and Field had a meet, Alabama High School Girls Golf, Boys and Girls Golf Championship, NCAA Men's Golf Regional, NCAA Baseball Regional, the Kickball National Tournament that brought over 600 kickball players from like 18 states. Mm-hmm. I can keep going on. It goes all the way down to collegiate golf. We had the the tennis and the pickleball event. We had the Braves Country Battles. Mm-hmm. That's just a list of events that happened from late April to literally last weekend. And those are really just weekend events mm-hmm. for the most part. That doesn't mean the transient travel of people just coming in and doing business, doing stuff with the university. So, or on Sunday, we hosted an event called the Great Race.
That's right.
This is a rally that started from St. Augustine, Florida, mm-hmm. went through Tifton, Georgia, and then picked Auburn as a lunch stop. Now they're all the way in, I believe they're already in Texas. So this thing goes, it's like a 2-week rally of nothing but cars from 1973 and before. Cars that literally, some of them, they were talking about, there was a truck. There are only two of these trucks in the entire world. One's in a museum, and one was rolling through Auburn on Sunday.
And he's driving it
And he was driving it that far. They drive it from St. Augustine, Florida on a 2-week rally all the way to Colorado Springs. This is an annual event. If you're a car enthusiast, if you're reading the motor magazines and all of that, you know about this. And so Auburn showed out, and I appreciate the city of Auburn, Auburn Police Department. If you went on Magnolia, East Magnolia specifically on Sunday from about probably 11 to 4, you saw some really cool cars mm-hmm. And basically they started from, the county, and they always go back roads because you got to think these are some really old cars.
Yeah,
1913, vehicles. And so it was really cool. And so it doesn't have to be sports. It doesn't have to be, business meetings. It can be stuff like that. That's for the community. Those individuals, there were people from Great Britain that were coming over, Japan, the ones from Canada, they say will drive their vehicle from Canada to the start destination. I think it's over 2,200 miles they drive. Those are just neat opportunities for the community. I mean, I was out there on Sunday and saw, a lot of car clubs, a lot of mm-hmm. people that love cars, but just kids that were, people walking out of the churches that are downtown, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so just big thanks to the city. Shutting down a street is not easy. As I was talking to somebody yesterday, I said, you know, some event organizers just think that, you know, you just put up a barricade and you make a couple announcements and then boom, you got a street shut down. No, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
Takes approval. Got to get the council.
The crossing the T's and dotting the I's on the approval. Yeah. And so big shout out to the city staff who made that happen. Because again, it's just a neat, cool event that it probably won't come back for years. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say they mix it up because they've gone through Birmingham.
Yep.
They may go through, who knows, they may go through like Huntsville or even Tuscaloosa. They may call it the college tour. Next year they may do Tuscaloosa.
And they say college towns are kind of iffy because, you know, there's other things going on in college towns that they say they don't see as big of crowds. I'll tell you this, we showed out and showed up Birmingham, you know, because Birmingham was their night stop and they stopped down in the uptown area where the football stadium is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember seeing pictures and they tried to combine it with the USFL game that was going on.
Right.
I think that created some challenges, but I mean, I know we had well over 2,000 plus.
Oh, easy. I saw social media. There were people excited about it.
Lots
of
people.
And so, and they were posting their pictures and sending that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's always a cool thing too.
Yeah. Cause I talked to a specific police officer that is great at what he does and is involved with every event that is in the roads of Auburn and is basically an event planner, but also does his daily duties of keeping us safe and all that. But I said, man, what'd you expect? And he goes, this is smooth. And he says, is really cool. He said, I was just worried that, you know, we didn't get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the citizens of Auburn and everybody that made that happen because it was really neat.
With a couple of thousand down there. So Anthony, how do they get in touch with you, man?
AOTourism.com. Check our events calendar out. See everything going on for the summer and also follow us on social media at Auburn Opelika.
He makes it so easy. Anthony Turling, Auburn Opelika Tourism and Tourism Tuesdays.
Ben Taylor on Auburn Opelika this morning.
News Talk.